The devil. Most people don't like to talk about the devil nowadays. And when they do, they often reduce him to something that's easy to deal with. They marginalize him as a myth, reduce him to a mere superstition, make him the boogeyman of our nightmares and horror movies, or perhaps make him a merely misunderstood rake. Even many Christians tend to do this. We'd like to believe that he doesn't exist. But the thing is, the devil does exist. He is real, personal, and powerful. Scripture and tradition are absolutely clear on this. For example, in today's gospel, we hear Jesus talking about the devil with a certainty that presumes his reality. And he does this not only because he's God the Son and has known the devil from the beginning, but because as a human being, he personally encountered the devil face to face when he went out into the desert for 40 days to pray. And the devil is not just one, but many. So today's gospel speaks of demons, plural. The scriptures and tradition tell us that the devils are actually fallen angels who were created like all the other heavenly angels, but who chose freely to follow Lucifer, or the light bearer, the greatest of all the angels, who was so glorious he became prideful and wanted to be like God. One strain of our tradition tells us that God informed all the angels that he was planning to create man in his own likeness, and that God the Son would then become a man, and that the angels then would have to serve him. But Lucifer and his friends couldn't countenance the idea that they would have to serve such a lowly creature as a man, and supposedly, famously responded, "Non serviam," I will not serve. They did not serve, and they still do not serve either God or man. Rather, they hate them both. The devils hate God, and the devils hate us. And we see this in today's first reading for the book of Genesis, part of the story of the fall of Adam and Eve. God asked Eve why she disobeyed him and ate the fruit of the forbidden tree. And she responds, "The serpent tricked me into it." Remember, the serpent, meaning the devil, had told her that God had lied to her about the tree, that it was a good thing to eat. He says, "You certainly will not die. As God said, God knows well that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods." Notice how he implies that God is the liar, not him. And he preys on the fact that Eve imagines that being like gods might be a good thing. He lies and he manipulates, and so he brings about Adam and Eve's and all mankind's fall from grace. They were meant to live forever with God, and now they would die. And they could even then die an eternal death. And so Jesus tells us about the devil. He says, quote, "He was a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar and a father of lies," close quote. And so Jesus calls the devil his enemy, or in Hebrew, Satan. St. Peter tells us elsewhere in Scripture, he says, "Be sober and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." Now, the roads to hell or to heaven, the road of the life of love or the life of sin, are choices that each human being has to make. When God created us in his image, he gave us a unique gift that really only he and the angels merited. He gave us free will. And his love prohibits him from taking that free will away from us. But the thing is, the devil can't take it away from us either. He can't force us to sin. But he can tempt us. He can try to deceive and lie and manipulate us to freely choose to sin. And how does he do that? First, remember who he is. He or they are fallen angels, so they are spiritual beings who can manifest themselves in physical ways that we could see them. But they have vast supernatural powers, the vast power of angels, just turned to evil. The most important thing to know about their powers is that they're incredibly intelligent, much smarter than we are in their own nature. Plus, they've been around forever. They've seen everything. They know how human beings work, and like a great chess player, they see things like 10 moves, 15 moves ahead. So even though they can't read our minds, only God can do that, they know us so well that it's almost as if they could read our minds. They remember how we respond to this or that event in the past, and they know exactly what we're going to do the next time, because they've seen us do it a million times. They can see the change in our eyes or in our skin tone or in the tenseness of our mouth and muscles, and they know what that means. They've seen us since we were babies, and they've seen it for centuries in human beings around the world. And most importantly, they know our personal weaknesses and vulnerabilities, physically, mentally, and emotionally, and spiritually. And they prey on them. They know exactly how to push our buttons. So, for example, the devil knows that you've had a long day. And he knows that you have a little bit of a quick temper when you're tired. And the driving makes you a little anxious. So you're driving home, and someone may be driving a little too close behind you, and the devil whispers in your ear, "Who does he think he is? You should make him pay for that." And then the rest is predictable. Or he says, "Go ahead and look, it's okay. Go ahead and do that, it's not so bad. Go ahead, you deserve it." He's not forcing you, but the father of lies is manipulating you, and you play right into his hands, especially if you don't even admit that he's doing it, much less that he even exists. Clearly, the devil is around today in our lives and throughout society, not only tempting us individually, but tempting society as a whole. He tempts the high school kid to shoot up his school. He tempts the terrorists with the lie of killing innocent people will get you 70 virgins in paradise. He tempts the frightened woman with an unplanned pregnancy that if she kills her baby, everything will be okay. He tempts the young person who struggles with their sexual identity. He tempts the successful businessman to think that wealth is more important than family or for caring for the poor or for his neighbor. And the thing is, the devils just don't do this independently. They do it together. There's a plan. As Jesus tells us in today's gospel, he says, "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand." Satan's house is not divided. Satan's house is united. They stand together. All the demons stand and work together against us. And so we look around and see not only a bunch of individual sins and sinners out there, but we see a world that seems to be systematically warping into a whole culture of sin. Now, have I scared you a little bit? I hope I have. We should be scared of the devil. Remember what Jesus says in Scripture. He says, "Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." But on the other hand, right after he says that in Scripture, Jesus goes on to say, are not two sparrows sold for one penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. On the one hand, he says, be afraid of the devil. On the other hand, he says, yeah, but don't be afraid. Because the Father is looking out after you. You should be afraid of the devil, but the kind of fear that, like when I'm afraid of burglars that might break into the rectory at night. You know, I don't just sit in my room shaking and crying because they might come, which they never have, right? But they could come, and so I don't just sit there trembling in fear, but rather I know they could come, and so I go around and lock all the doors at night, and I turn on the alarm system, and I have that pistol by my bed. Maybe. You'll never know unless you break in. And then I ask God to keep my rectory safe and send His holy angels to protect me. And I go to bed and I sleep like a baby. I'm afraid and so I'm careful. I take precautions. But I know I've taken precautions. I know that I'm going to be all right because I've been careful. The thing is, the devil is not all powerful or all knowing. Only God is. And as Jesus tells us, with God, all things are possible. And so we go back to today's first reading and we see God looks down on the devil who's crawling in the dirt on his belly. God's up here, the devil's down there, right? And he says to him, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between her offspring and your offspring. He will strike at your head, you will nip at his heel. This is the promise that God the Son would become a man, born of the woman. And while the devil will continue to cause his little problems, the all-powerful Son will eventually, inevitably, crush the serpent's head. This is the promise in chapter 3 of Genesis, called the Protoevangelium, the first gospel, proclaiming the coming of Jesus Christ and his cross. So, we read in Scripture, if God is for us, who can be against us? Neither angels nor demons will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, the Lord. And again, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so while we have to be alert and cautious to the damage that the devil can do, we don't have to be afraid if we allow God to help us. If we, as St. Paul says elsewhere, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Jesus tells us today, no one can enter the strong man's house to plunder his property unless first he ties up the strong man. So don't tie up the strong man. In particular, don't keep Jesus tied up by your sins, but let him loose in your life by obeying his commandments and loving him. And don't lock him out of your house. Let him in by your prayers and by being open to the fullness of his grace. In particular, be open to the two great sources of grace that Jesus gives us to fight the devil: the sacrament of confession and the sacrament of Eucharist. Go to confession frequently to untie the strong man, to receive the grace so that you can be strong with the power of Jesus, who forgives you and fills you with his grace. And then don't be discouraged by your sins. Christ is our hope. Discouragement comes from the devil. He doesn't want us to be hopeful. He wants us to think we'll keep failing. But Jesus promises us, again, that all things are possible and that he will be with us always. And he'll forgive us 70 times 7. The devil tells us lies. No, he won't, he says. But he will not abandon us. And there's a second and greatest sacramental weapon the Eucharist. There's nothing the devil fears more, nothing that better fights off his assaults than the sacrament that makes the sacrifice of the cross really present to us and unites our bodies with the very body and blood of God the Son, Jesus crucified. Because it's by the cross that Jesus crushes the serpent's head. And it is by the cross that Jesus says to both God the Father and to mankind, not, I will not serve you, but I came to serve and to give my life as the ransom for many. These are the greatest armors and weapons that God has given us, but there's so many more. There's St. Michael and his legion of angels to protect us. And there's, of course, Mary, the Blessed Mother, of whom God spoke when he promised the devil, I would put enmity between you and the woman. The devil runs in fear from the very presence of the Mother of God. Cling to her, and she will protect you. The devil is no myth, no superstition, no harmless rake, no joke. He is real, powerful, personal, and he hates you. We must be sober and alert of him and his temptations, but we must also have faith and confidence and the peace that comes from knowing that Christ will crush his head for us. As we now enter more deeply into this Holy Mass, surrounded by all the heavenly angels and saints, in the presence of St. Michael and St. Raymond and our Blessed Mother, let's bow deeply to worship and adore before the Son of God who became man, Jesus Christ, as he descends from heaven to the altar. And as he gives himself to us in Holy Communion, let us give ourselves to him as well. And so be united to the one who serves both God and man, and have his strength to resist the temptations and snares of the devil, the enemy of God and our enemy, the one who says, I will not serve. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.